got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
This is the rarest of Fridays. This is a Friday where I forgot and Sean actually remembered. Well Whoa. Done, Mr. DeTore.
Wow. Okay.
That was a surprising, delightful bolt out of the blue for me right there.
You're welcome, Dory.
Thank you, man. And that's because I'm so excited about the interview. By the way, we'll come to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Okay, I told you about a story last hour. And as you know, I am on a daily mission, a quest to become more woke. And in that pursuit, let me get right to our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, if you were listening to our Fastest 15 last hour, I told the story about the Finney Neighborhood Association, which has done this, what I thought was a delightful project the last 5 years, in conjunction with Woodland Park Zoo, their neighbors, that does a Wild Lights Christmas time event. Finney Neighborhood Association, the businesses there, they started hanging LED monkeys in the windows and doorways of some of the businesses. So if somebody's family was going with their kids to look at wild lights, maybe they'd just drive around the neighborhood. And I just think that's a sweet kind of traditional type of holiday activity. But I found out that it is, thanks to a couple of listener tips, including a member of the Finney Neighborhood Association, that tradition is going away. And to get more details on this, from the Finney Neighborhood Association, John Jones joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. John, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to chat about this with you.
Okay, I'm glad, because I have to admit, John, this sounds so ridiculous. I was laughing about this last hour because this just sounds so ridiculous to me. So why are you guys taking down these LED monkeys from your neighborhood?
The easiest explanation I can give really is that once it's been brought to our attention that they're racially offensive, and I can't speak to how they're racially offensive because I'm not a person of color, I can hear the person of color tell me this. And this was our executive director at the time, Darnisha Wary. So taking her words in, I went through the same process that you are and everyone in the community is, because we're a white community. So to us, these are monkeys. We understand why they're there. We love them. So my first reaction was one of, huh? How and why? But moving past all that, taking her at her word that they cause pain and are offensive to her, we were then faced with, how do we continue this tradition with our beloved monkeys, now knowing that they cause pain?
So I'm not this person either. And you said she's your former executive director?
She is. We've been through a lot of turmoil in these last few months.
Okay.
For a number of reasons.
Okay.
Certainly economic as well as all sorts of issues.
Okay. And I'm reading the statement that you guys sent out. And you said that you're removing the monkeys because you don't want to reinforce the symbolism, so you are permanently retiring the monkey project. And you said this is just one step in our work of dismantling systemic racism. So were you guys racist the last 5 years?
In
hanging LED monkeys, that was just kind of fun Woodland Park Zoo accompaniment. Were you guys racist the last 5 years?
No, I would say we were not, but now that we're aware of the harm that they cause to people, even though I and we might not understand that harm. Yes, we would be going forward, which is a weird thing to wrap our heads around. But that's part of us learning how to become an anti-racist organization, is hearing the feedback that we get, taking it to heart, and acting on it.
But and I mean, as I talk
that
to
meant
you,
this.
I don't know you beyond this, you know, couple minutes we've talked so far. You sound like a very nice man, John, and you're not a racist because somebody tells you you're a racist. You're a racist if you're a racist. And somebody else's opinion, because believe me, that's a word that is thrown around, and it's a horrible epithet, and it's a horrible thing to be called, and people, you know, might call me that at times, just to try to discredit my you know, social or worldview or societal view. Just because somebody says that about me or says that about you, that doesn't make you or me a racist. So how does taking down the monkeys somehow eliminate racism?
I don't know that I would say that it eliminates racism, but
it eliminates
any harm that someone feels. And personally, I can't justify taking action that causes harm, which I will admit is probably a simplistic way to look at it, but trying to identify how the monkeys are racist is outside the scope of my knowledge, because that's not my perspective. But hearing that perspective, we were unable to do anything but to act, and that is what puts us on the path of trying to be anti-racist, trying to learn and grow and act appropriately, and understanding that this was going to cause a conversation, and being happy that it causes a conversation, because it allows us all to look at something that seems innocuous and really examine the effect that it has that we as white people might not see. So it's been a big learning curve for us. And
right.
I'm happy to see that the public has taken an interest and is asking these questions, because that's where we are. That's a good place.
Well, and when you say taking down the monkeys, I'm sorry, I laugh every time, because monkey's just a funny word. When you say taking down the monkeys can help us become anti-racist, sounds like you are saying we are racist, because taking them down will help us become anti-racist. Or maybe not that you're racist, but that you would be the opposite of anti-racist would be pro-racist. So if taking them down helps you become anti-racist, would seem to be an acknowledgement that you are pro-racist for having hung them. And I don't think you are, John. And I don't think you or I or any of us, any of my listeners, are defined by what the most sensitive around us might throw at us. And I'm very dismayed at a society, you know, getting away from, you know, just the underlying humor that I found in the story. I'm dismayed that we're becoming a society that caves in to the most sensitive among us, even if those sensitive people are not being rational in their criticisms of people like you and me.
I wouldn't call it caving in. I would call it that our responsibility as white people in a society that has inherited white racism, we have to listen to voices of color that come to us, and to not listen and act would make me racist, because I would be choosing then to act in a racist way. And that might not be the opinion of all people, certainly within my organization. I probably should say that. But that's my feeling. And I've come to this argument the same as you. I was unaware of the effect these monkeys can have, because I personally love them.
Well, but
and
I don't think you're unaware. I mean, I'm hyper self-aware. But again, I'm not going to let other people define who and what I am. And you know, I mean, it sounds to me like that would suggest that all of the business owners, maybe not were being racist in hanging these monkeys, but were being somehow ignorant. And I don't think they're being ignorant either. I think they were just doing something that was fun and delightful. But I'm probably, you know, we're probably going on too much. I want to talk about the other thing that was in your letter, the water fountains.
Yes,
so you have an old school that's part of your association there. Built in 1904, it had a little small water fountain. It turns out that in 2012, you added a second water fountain that's ADA accessible, has a bottle filler. So for 8 years, those two water fountains have lived in peace and harmony. And again, somebody complained and said having two water fountains, separate fountains, brings up imagery of racial segregation. Now, I mean, again, I understand you're being very cool and trying to understand other points of view. Do you really have a understanding that somebody could say having a historic small water fountain and a newer water fountain you put in 2012 is somehow imagery of racial segregation? Does that make any sense at all?
I have to admit it does. Initially, when this was brought up to me, it
did. No, John, that doesn't make sense to you.
I came to it from the perspective of what I see. And the history that I know of it. But I can't see how someone can see that. Growing to see their point of view is a good thing. And I also know being in this building that that little water fountain serves no purpose because children who see it seem to think it's a little toilet nowadays because they have no relationship to what a little old school water fountain looked like.
Well, but I mean, that's a separate issue, though. But I mean, so you're saying that you now understand that having a 116 year old water fountain several feet away from a newer bottle filler water station, that that's somehow logically in some human being's mind could bring up imagery of racial segregation.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't.
I believe it's my point of view to hear them say that. I don't believe that I can belittle that perception by questioning them to the rationale of it because putting myself in that point of view and looking at it as if I've never seen it before, I can see that perspective. And that was growth for me. And growth is hard. And that's part of being on this path to really learn how to be anti-racist. It's challenging. There is certainly truth in that.
Well, that's unbelievably challenging. Was it the same person who complained about the monkeys that complained about the water fountains?
Yeah, this was Darnisha Wary. She was our new executive director and a woman of color, and she came in with a point of view that was different to us. So it was challenging for her to share these things because our initial responses were the same as everybody. But taking that in, we have to honor what we hear from the people of color in our lives and act on it.
No, we should honor the things that are sensible and logical that we hear from people of color and white people. We should honor sensible criticism. I do not think, I do not think we are obligated to honor saying that having two water fountains is somehow reminiscent of you know, 1950s South in America, or that having LED monkeys are something that are portrayed as something they absolutely were not in your guys' hearts and in your minds. But you know what, John? I agree with you that conversations like this are awesome. I'm really glad we could talk about it. You sound like a very nice man. I don't think you or any of your business owners were in any way promoting racism. And I just find it a little dismaying that you thought you had to do this to somehow be anti-racist. If you weren't racist in the first place, you don't have to be anti-racist.
Well, I would just add that once one learns something, to not act on it is then the problem. That something is one way before you learn about it is not a problem. So absolutely no one in the business district, no one on our street was acting from a place of racism. But that was what caused our action when we heard that. So I can't never fault in doing something that is not going to cause harm. But that is my perspective.
Yeah. And I must live my life in a slightly different way. I don't want to cause harm, but I'm not going to let the most sensitive among us define who and what I am. But all right. Great conversation, John. I really appreciate you coming on with me. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, John Jones from the Finney Neighborhood Association, up next in the Big Lead.
Your read on the Big Lead.
And I have to tell you that as I'm conducting that interview, the text messages look like a slot machine. And keep sending me your messages. Here's the realization that I had. I reached out to John. And again, John sounds like a very nice man. I reached out to John because, as you know, I am on a daily mission to become more woke. And I think I've now come to the realization, if that's what woke is, I will never be woke. Now, so Gil, you get to your read on the Big Lead, the text messages here. A lot of people are asking if Woodland Park Zoo is the woman who complained, Darnisha Wary. Has she gone to Woodland Park Zoo to force them to remove the actual monkeys from the exhibits at the zoo? A couple of you from the 425, from the 253, they believe that the zoo should also remove all of the elephants because they, of course, are offensive to heavy people. Many people are calling for the big brass pig at the Pike Place Market to be removed because it's offensive to law enforcement. Let's see. It's going to take me the entire commercial break to go through all the text messages that are coming in from the 315. This is seriously some of the dumbest bleep I've ever heard. Okay, let me sort through these because, like I said, I couldn't really read them as they were coming in during the interview. So let me sort through them, and I'll disseminate some of them right after we check the news. So that there is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, much more to come. If you are just joining us, a resolution has now been proposed at the Seattle City Council today to not cut Seattle police by 50%, but to completely eliminate the Seattle Police Department. If you're just getting caught up with the big show, I'll update you on that. Also, a lot of people asking about my gubernatorial pick. You might be disappointed by the answer. No, it's not Inslee. But all that is coming up right after the news as the Dory Monson Show continues. Oh, yeah. Final half hour of our broadcast week here on the Dory Monson Show. Keep this going underneath me, Sean. I've got just a few texts to share based on our interview last half hour. A couple people believe that Woodland Park Zoo should now get rid of all of their cougars because that's offensive to hot middle-aged women. somebody else, from the 360, Dory, I think my woke is broke. Yeah, I think mine is too. And from the 206, my guess blood type is soy. Now he sounded like a nice man. Come on. He sees the world a little differently than maybe you and I. Okay. Thank you. I'm still going through. It's going to take me about an hour after the show to get through all the text messages that are coming in. If you missed our top story today, and it is an extraordinarily important one, our frequent guest, Christopher Rufo, good watchdog of the community. Christopher Rufo broke a resolution that was proposed at the Seattle City Council today that would not cut the police by 50%, but abolish the entire Seattle Police Department, replace it with a civilian-led Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. Some of the other things in this, and this is, again, I've got a link up on Twitter, at Dori Monson, D-O-R-I-M-O-N-S-O-N. In January of 2019, I spoke and wrote about the coming Marxist takeover of Seattle. And I was dismissed. Monson, there he goes again with all of his hyperbole and his extremism. We're not going to have communists take over Seattle. You want a media source for truth? You're in the right place right now. Because here we are, 18 months later, 19 months later, and everything we told you in January of 2019 is coming to fruition. We are your source of truth. And I wish others in the media would have covered the stories. They could have ripped it off from me and given me attribution, but should the rest of the media have followed up on it? Followed up, and I ripped off with attribution the fantastic work by the website sccinsight.com, a guy who's a Seattle City Council watchdog. And he posted in January of last year about Socialist Alternative, the organization that Sawant is a member of, a revolutionary organization dedicated to the dismantling of the capitalist state. It's impossible to reform a capitalist state from within. It must be completely dismantled and replaced with a new economy and government, including police force. I told you about all of this 19 months ago. Now it's coming to fruition. So if you want to sound like you got a crystal ball, as one of my listeners texted me, just listen to our show. Some of the other things in the Seattle Council resolution that dropped today. The Seattle Police would be replaced by a civilian-led department to guide public safety. Now, again, not to criticize my guest last half hour, but if the most woke among us are going to determine public safety, there's certain people, certain classes of people that will never be prosecuted for a crime. And what will happen if this were to come to fruition? Seattle would descend into complete and utter chaos. We already are a magnet attractant for drug addicts around the country because Dan Satterberg has legalized all drugs. Heroin, meth, you name it. Everything is legal in King County. Now you have Dow Constein. He wants to get rid of the jails in King County. Seattle Council wants to get rid of the police. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen? If you're a drug addict and you're in Memphis, Tennessee, And you know that if you're caught with drugs or breaking into someone's house, that you're going to go to jail. But you can come out to Seattle, King County, and you can break into homes, strong arm assault people on the street so that you can get money for your next fix. And there's not going to be police to police any of this. There's not going to be jails to put you in. Even if the civilians somehow snatched you up, which they never will, because this is designed to criminalize Seattle, to flood us with criminals. Getting back to the socialist alternative, you have to connect the dots here. Getting back to the Marxists, Sawant, Tammy Morales. The goal is to dismantle the capitalist state, to destroy us, so that they can rebuild us in their woke image. A couple of other things from Christopher Rufo's email. So they also would replace the police with culturally relevant expertise rooted in community connections. Good luck deciphering that. They would replace the police force with housing, food security, and other basic needs. There's pure Marxism for you. Government will just redistribute, and everybody will be given housing, everybody will be given food, regardless whether they're a heroin addict who has thrown their life away and has made themselves unemployable. Government will still provide. They will take from the achievers, and they will redistribute wealth to everybody, the most slothful, people who have made poor choices. And then, as Christopher Rufo wrote, the plan demands that the city conduct an immediate transfer of underutilized public land and given to BIPOC community ownership. Again, pure Marxism, redistribution of land, land that every taxpayer owns, public land. If it's underutilized, according to this council, maybe they'll say, and Seattle Center's underutilized. Myrtle Edwards Park, you name it. Green Lake's underutilized. And they get to decide who to give it to. And their decision is already in writing. The BIPOC community, Black Indigenous people of color. So the Marxist takeover continues here in Seattle. It's devastatingly heartbreaking for me, who grew up, born and raised in the city. I never thought it would come to this when I was a younger man. I knew for certain it was going to come to this about a year and a half ago. Go look at what I wrote. I've got the link up on Twitter right now, at Dory Monson. All right, quick time out here. It's Friday, and that means we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Our awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. And it is that time of the day when we like to count down our... This is a good batch today. I like this batch. Awesome audio of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the week.
At number three, my wife actually sent me this one. This is some guy in some grocery store. You know, we're all about cancel culture. So he was going through a Walmart. He posted this on YouTube. He was going through a Walmart, and he pointed out... you know, we've done something about Aunt Jemima already, but there's a lot of work left to do if we're going to be truly woke.
We got rid of Aunt Jemima. We got rid of Uncle Ben's. But I am wildly triggered by the brands and the photos that I see in this grocery store. Using a polar bear to sell your ice cream, Klondike. Did you know polar bears were extinct? No thank you. Canceled. Paw Patrol mac and cheese. Listen, defund the police. Defund Paw Patrol. V8. You know what kind of emissions an engine like that puts out into the environment? I drive a Prius, and that is canceled. White rice. Brown rice. Why they gotta be separated? Think about it. Canceled. Hola, Tapatio. Una pregunta. You ever heard of cultural appropriation? Canceled. Oh, look at there. It's a woman leading a cow against its will to the slaughter. Selling popsicles shaped as bullets. Wow, absolutely canceled. Blue Ribbon, everyone's a winner. Thank you, that is the only brand of ice cream I'll support. Rebel Ice Cream, wow, why don't you just change this to Soldier in the Confederate Army Ice Cream? Okay, I just looked up Red Baron. Red Baron is a fighter pilot in the German Air Force in World War I. Seems extremely anti-Semitic. Orville Redenbacher, look at this guy. He definitely made some mistakes in his past. Do you want to cancel him? We can if we want. I'll look up some mistakes that he made in his past, and we can cancel him. I need to appease my white guilt by virtue signaling on the internet. The Keebler Elves. Isn't that...
He does a really good job just flashing through Walmart. Okay, also in our awesome audio... this just resurfaced. It's actually a 10-year-old clip. The Simpsons in 2010 once again showed how prescient they could be.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions, too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
That is...
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I...
And injects the NBC guy with a syringe, and he starts convulsing.
Oh, yeah. So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something that's in every household, something that people are a little bit afraid of already.
House cat flu is coming, people. The Center for Disease Disinformation predicts with some degree of probability that the house cat flu might spread in the following hypothetical outbreak pattern. So, petter beware, that warm body on your lap just might be ready to destroy your tender vittles.
The graphic behind Kent Brockman was Apocalypse Meow. I like the Center for Disease Misinformation part, too. And then at number one, you've probably heard this guy's work before on this show, listener Dave Irish. He sent me a song, another one of his original compositions this week. Like so many of us, he was sick of our cops being so viciously attacked by politicians and by domestic terrorists on the street. And so my favorite audio of the week was the song Dave Irish sent me called Uncommon Heroes.
I sing a song of gratitude for uncommon heroes. Men and women wearing blue, serving you and me. Laying their lives down, every city and every town. I sing a song of gratitude for those in blue. Here's to our finest, the best and the brightest, uncommon heroes in our midst who answer the call. When there is trouble, they'll come on the double. Uncommon heroes will be there for one and all.
But thanks to Dave Irish. God bless our cops, their families. Thank you. Sorry for all the nonsense you have to deal with. There is a Defend the Police rally, Seattle City Hall, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, downtown Seattle. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Tom and Curly are coming up next. I'll see you back here Monday at high noon. Adam.
Now, good day, sir.
I say good day. Now, good day.
Good day.
Good day.
I said good day.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.